Good morning. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to please stand as I read from God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. Let me go ahead and read 3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, I pray today that you will speak to us through your Holy Spirit. And as I preach this message, Lord, let every word come from you, nothing from my flesh or my thoughts. And God, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory, and just have your way now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I titled this message, For Believers Only, because as a believer in Christ, there are some great things we get to take part of. And a couple of those things that I want to look at today are baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are things that are both instituted by God and they are commanded by God. Both baptism and the Lord's Supper are symbolical ordinances of the New Testament. The supper represents the work of Christ, and baptism is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, in baptism, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus gave this commandment. He said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, baptism is something that we see Jesus having been done to him. And you remember that John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. And we know that baptism is a symbol of burial of the old man. And then when we are raised up out of the water, we are raised to a new life in Christ. So the old sinful man has been buried, and we are raised up as a new creature in Christ with a brand new start. Now, I've had people come to me and they say, Well, you know, Brother Jim, I got baptized many years ago, and then I went to church, and I did this, and I did that, and I've asked them, but have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And they beat around the bush and give me some other excuses and their own reasonings, well, their own theology, and I've told them that baptism is for when you have received Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, and you're saying to God, here's my life, and I want to live for you by the Spirit. I don't want to live in the flesh anymore. But a lot of people get the idea in their head that if they get baptized, they're going to heaven. Well, I told you a couple weeks ago, you could go outside in your garage and you could stand there all day, but that doesn't make you an automobile. So just the same, baptism does not guarantee you a spot in heaven. You have to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that happens when God starts dealing with your heart. God starts speaking to you, and you know that there is no peace in your life. You know that if you were to die, you would probably go to hell. you would not spend an eternity with the Lord. And as God continues to work on the heart of that individual, they know that there's an empty place in their heart and life. And I remember when I came to that place, and I was, you know, under the belief that if I went to church, I was all right. That was my insurance policy. I thought, man, I was guaranteed a spot in heaven. Jesus would find favor with me. But when I reached the age of 18, going on 19, I realized that I wasn't okay. And you know, it tended to scare me. It brought a lot of fear. And I would lay in bed at night thinking, what if I die tonight? Or what if I was driving and was in a car accident? Or what if Jesus came back? Where would I be right at that moment? And what would my eternity be? And you know what? It finally scared me enough. I didn't want to find out anymore. And I went to a youth service one night, and my friend Darren had preached a message, and boy, it really shook the foundations of my very life. And I went into the prayer chapel that night, and I got on my knees, and there was a big cross on the wall that you could turn a dial on the wall, and this light would come on behind it. And I don't know about you, but when I would look at that cross in that prayer chapel, it's my reminder of who hung there. It's the reason that I'm alive today. It's the reason that I do what I do today, because that cross is empty. But I looked at that cross, and I imagined Jesus' blood running down that cross. And as I knelt there that night, I gave my heart and my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of my sins were washed away, and my life was made new. Now, here's something I want to say to you. If you get saved and you used to pass away before you got baptized, you're still going to heaven. I want you to know that. Because the thief on the cross, when he asked Jesus to remember him when he entered into his kingdom, and Jesus told him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," that thief never got baptized. So I want you to remember that. A lot of people think that baptism is some guarantee into heaven, and it's not. It's a symbolic thing that we do in following Jesus. So about a week or 2 weeks later, I got baptized on a Sunday morning, and I want you to know I was anticipating it, and I was excited because Jesus had done it, and he had commanded that we be baptized. And when Brother Bob, does anybody know Pastor Bob Wagner? He used to pastor Second Baptist Church Marion. Nobody know him. He was a good man. He was a loving man. He always had a smile on his face. And a bad joke to tell you, you know, if you had 5 minutes, he'd tell you a joke, make you shake your head. But anyway, I just remember his character. And I remember as he baptized me and put me under the water, and when he raised me back up, then my first thought was, that old man has been buried. And it's all left, my past has been left behind. So when we are submerged into that water and we are raised up to new life, we have a brand new start. But the brand new start comes, though, when we receive Christ as Lord and Savior. It means we no longer want to live in the flesh. It means we want to do everything we can to follow Christ. But as I said, it is a commandment, and baptism is only for believers. A lost person can get baptized and they're still going to go to hell because they never have taken a step of faith to follow Christ and believe on Him. Baptism does not save you, and it does not wash away your sins. The only thing that can wash away your sins and make your wrongs to right is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful every day that He died on that cross for me. You know, I tell you all the time how excited I get. And I do get excited because when I think about life now, I remember after getting saved that night, I woke up the next morning and I didn't feel like I had before. I felt different. I had a joy. I had a testimony to share. I had a reason to live. And when I started preaching, I didn't realize how exciting it was going to be when I witnessed to somebody the first time and they received Christ as Lord and Savior. And then they came to church and then I got to be the one to baptize them. It's always a time of celebration when we get saved and then when we follow the Lord in Christian baptism. I remember one time I was baptizing this lady. Now, this is kind of a funny baptism story. And you know how, does anybody know how young boys can be mischievous? Oh, yeah, Brother Stephen shaking his head, no. Well, back when I was in the junior high school, some boys after Sunday school one morning said, "Hey, let's go put a hole in the preacher's waders," because they said, "We found out the preacher wears waders and he's baptizing five people this morning. Let's go put a hole in the preacher's waders." And I said, "I don't like that idea. To me, it didn't settle right." But guess who tagged along anyway? I tagged along. I confess that. Well, we went up, we skipped out of Sunday school a little early. We slipped up behind the baptistry. And there's a door you could go in and slip up there. Nobody'd ever see you. And we knew Brother Trotter wouldn't be up there for another 20-some-odd minutes. And one of the boys put a hole into his waders. And we walked out of there, and we was just a-giggling and laughing. And boy, did I giggle and laugh. I admit that. We went and sat down, and Brother Trotter got up there to baptize. And when he got up there, he baptized five people. Well, we noticed the look on his face started to change a little bit. Well, we knew that his waders was filling up with water. And then all of a sudden, the laughter turned to, "Oh no, we shouldn't have done that." Well, fast forward quite a few years later, I was baptizing a woman at a church I pastored. And this woman was the sweetest lady in the world. Now, and she was about, I think probably 325 to 330. And her husband, Brother Ron Orr, and I had went to their house and he got saved. He was delivered from alcoholism and started coming to church and he wanted to be baptized and they were both excited to be baptized that morning. So I got down, I put my waders on and I got down there and I always wore waders in the baptistry. And I got down in the baptistry that morning, and I've always said that your past will come back to haunt you. Because somebody didn't tell me that this woman was afraid of the water. She didn't mention it. So I get her down there in the baptistry. We're all excited, and I told Rosie, because she asked me, she said, "Now, Brother Jim, I know I'm a little, you know, bigger woman." She said, "How are you going to do this?" I said, "Well, there's a bar down there. Just put your feet under it. Just all I want you to do is just kind of go down on your knees and we'll get you under the water the best we can and stand back up." She said, "All right." Well, about that time, I'm lowering her down. I said, "I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And I put washcloth over her mouth and nose. Got her head down. She touched the back of that water. And all of a sudden, she grabbed me by my baptismal robe and my waders, and she screamed. And she pulled them things down and forward, and she pulled me down in the water with her, and the fight was on. And all at the same moment, her husband stands up there and says, "Brother Jim, hold her under till she bubbles." And the entire church busted out laughing, and I'm fighting her, trying to get myself up out of the water, and guess what happened? My waders filled all the way up to my chest, well, just below my ribs with water. And I knew that my past had come back to haunt me. Not only had I been baptized once, I had received a second baptism thanks to this lady. And I always got a kick out of this because, you know, our pastor back then, he lived next door. All he had to do is walk next door. He changed into dry clothes and come back and preach Sunday morning. When I got baptized myself that morning and my waders were full of water, I lived 16 miles from home and I couldn't go back and change clothes. And when I come out of that room that morning, I was wet from here down, and the church could see it, and you could hear my socks inside of my shoes going squish, squish, and they just laughed at me. So, hey, baptism is for believers. But I got baptized that morning again, and I knew it was because I was being repaid for what I had been a part of. I had to share that story with you. That was always funny. Secondly, the Lord's Supper. It was instituted by Christ. Matthew 26:26 says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Now, why do we celebrate and take part of the Lord's Supper? It's to commemorate the death of Jesus Christ, because Jesus commanded that we do it in remembrance of Him. It's an outward sign of salvation. See, so when we take the Lord's Supper, I mean, that's something too that joyfully we should take part of. Now, this past Thursday, we had Janine's aunt's funeral over in Murfreesboro. Now, Janine's aunt was a devout Catholic, and this is my belief. I throw religion aside at this point. When it comes to God's people, we went into that Catholic church, but I had an understanding with this priest from many years back when Janine's grandma passed away. I said, "Look, now we're here for a funeral service this morning. I know you guys will do communion. I am not Catholic." I said, "I am a Christian person." I said, "I have been blood bought, and I am a child of God. You're a child of God. And we together should be one family, setting aside the religion that's being represented here. And we should be together in one body doing communion together." And you know what that priest said to me? "I agree with you." So Thursday, At the funeral mass at the end, they did communion. And I took part of communion joyfully. And as I walk up there, and as I took that wafer, that, you know, they use the little bigger round ones like that, but that is a symbol of Christ's body. Christ's body was beaten. It was broken. It was bruised. It had been torn apart. It had been spat upon. And he had been punched. He had been rejected by his own followers. They had went and locked themselves into a room. But that body was nailed to a cross. And he hung on that cross, dying for you and I. A perfect sacrifice, took our sins upon himself. So that body, when I look at that bread that's a reminder of his body, I am so thankful that he came as a sacrifice. So anytime, and I always say that we should take communion as much as we get a chance to do so, and do it with a heart of worship. Because if it wasn't for that broken body, if that body had not been nailed to the cross, you and I would not be here today, and you and I would not have a future in heaven had Jesus decided not to go through with the Father's will. And I thank God that Jesus said those words, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." And it wasn't the nails that held that body upon the tree. It was His love for you and I that kept Him there. I didn't really know this, but somebody told me that the way they had Jesus nailed to that cross, they had it to where in order for Him to breathe, you know what He had to do? He had to muster up the strength and push with His feet, with those nails driven right through the bone and the tendon in His arm, or there in His wrist, and He would have to push up in order to get a breath. And they said it was the most grueling pain that a human being could ever feel or experience. So when we take of the Lord's Supper, I think we should do it as much as we get a chance to do so, because our precious King Jesus was nailed to that cross, and He stayed there through the entirety of that suffering and persecution, because He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Before He gave up the spirit, they thrust a spear into His side, and the blood and the water flowed from His body. And at the end of it, Jesus said, "It is finished." And what did He mean by that? He meant that the work He came to do, the Father's will, had been completed. Now, some of us were talking about this after the funeral the other day. Could you imagine what it would have been like for God, the Father, to have to look down on His perfect Son and see the sins of the world upon Him? That's why there was darkness that day. That's why it got so dark, and Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because a perfect King became sin, took up our sin so that we might live and we could escape an eternity in hell if we believed on Him. So when I am taking a part of the Lord's Supper, I'm excited to do it. I don't look at it as just a piece of bread. I look at that is the body of Christ. And that's what Jesus said there in Matthew 26. "Take, eat, this is my body. Do it in remembrance of me." And then when they took the cup, we know, now a lot of churches use wine, a lot of churches use grape juice, whatever they use, fine. There's been a lot of people getting on debates on that, and I don't want to do that either. I ain't going to bring religion into this again. Now, I went up Thursday for communion, and yeah, they use wine in the Catholic Church. So I took a little sip, but to me, it was not wine. It was the blood of Jesus. It's remembrance of that blood. And you know what's special about that blood? That blood washes away all of our iniquity. That blood has healed us of our diseases, of our sickness, of sin. It has set me free from death. That blood holds a power. That blood changed my very life. That blood that was shed meant more to me than any other gift I would have ever given. Because Jesus chose to shed His own blood so that I would not die and spend that eternity in hell. When I got saved, all of my sins were washed away. Everything was made brand new. I was made whiter than snow. It is a crimson blood that washed me whiter than the whitest of snows. Now, I'll say this, I'm not a wintertime person. I don't like the cold, and I don't like all the snow that comes with it and the ice. But one day I was out in the driveway shoveling. The sun had come out, And we'd had about 2 foot of snow out there. And in the midst of my grumbling over having to shovel snow in -4 degree temperatures, the sun come down and was shining on that snow. And it was the prettiest glistening sparkle I'd ever seen. And all of a sudden, my little under-the-breath grumbling quit because I started seeing the whiteness. And I thought, I was made whiter than this snow. I was made whiter than this by the blood of Jesus. If that blood hadn't been shed for me, I wouldn't be standing here today. Brother Stephen wouldn't have been standing in this pulpit either. And we wouldn't have a reason to preach, would we, brother? Without that blood, we wouldn't have no reason to preach. Now, there's a lot of churches that they do communion every Sunday, and there's not a thing wrong with that. There's not. Some churches do it, you know, whenever. Whenever they do it, that's fine. But I always say this. It is one of the most wonderful benefits as a Christian that you and I can partake of. And when we do it, we have to do it worthy. That's why before I always do the Lord's Supper, before I lead in that, I always have a time of quiet prayer because I believe that we should confess our sins before the Lord and we should get ourselves in a place of holy reverence before Him at that time. And when we take of that Lord's Supper, this is something that it should be between you and the Lord. And you should be thanking God for all that He's given to us through His Son, Jesus. And also, taking of the Lord's Supper is not going to get you into heaven either. I want to throw that in there too. A lot of people think if they go through the methods and if they show up to church that they've got that guaranteed insurance policy. Nope. God doesn't give you fire insurance by doing good things. Your fire insurance comes by receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. And lastly, the greatest benefit that we get is it produces a closeness with the Savior. Now you and I, before we got saved, we were separated from God. Our sin separated us from God. There was no, we had no ability to come to Him and pray. We had no ability to come to Him and ask Him for help for anything as sinners. But the moment we got saved, we were allowed and we've got the privilege that we can come to the throne of God any time of day or night and we can bring our prayers and petitions before the Lord. And we can walk in a relationship with Him. And we can walk in a newness of life. We can come to church. And we should get up out of bed every Sunday morning and we should make our way to God's house to worship Him joyfully and not think about what we have to do afterward. You know, there was one Sunday morning I was getting ready to preach and this lady, I was filling in, and this lady, she said, "Could I ask a question real quick?" I said, "Well, sure." She says, "How long are you going to preach this morning? Because I have a roast on." And I said, "Well, ma'am, I've brought 10 to 12 pages of outlines and notes this morning. Once I get through it, we'll be done." And I just looked at her face. But anyway, I thank the Lord that we get to go to His house. And I never worried about how long the preacher was going to preach. All I know is that I was receiving. I was close to my Lord and my God. And I'm close to Him every day. He is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. And I told you last Sunday, God doesn't change. He's always good. And if He doesn't change, I don't want to change. So I want to be a child who sticks close by my Savior's side because He never turned His back on me and He never gives up on me. I've heard people say, "Well, do you think Jesus ever went, when's this guy ever going to get it?" I don't think so. I don't think Jesus ever had been like that, because Jesus is the perfect Son of God, and He is love, and love knows no boundaries. His love is a perfect love. So in this closeness with our Savior, we have fellowship. Not only do we have fellowship with Him, but we have fellowship with one another. And I always say this, whether you're at church or you see someone in the grocery store or family reunion, whatever it may be, I always say you should give them a hug or shake their hand and tell them you're glad to see them. Smile at them. Let them know that they mean something to you. Yesterday morning, I got up at 3:30 and I made my way on over to, it's Wolf Lake. I finally remember the name. Went over, drove all the way to Wolf Lake off Route 3 for the start of that river-to-river relay. I was helping direct traffic and make sure everybody went the right direction and all. And while I was standing over there, I told a lot of my friends where I'd be at, so, you know, because they knew I'd encourage them. And as all those runners come running down that hill and they're turning on that road, they'd go by me and I'd say, good job, runner. Good job, runner. And then I'd see one of my friends and I'd call him out by name and I'd be smiling at them and they'd slap me five or whatever. And then some other friends who were not running that first leg, they saw me, they come up and they give me a big hug and they get their phone. You know how it is now. Everybody gets their phone out, take a selfie. And they get their phone out and get up next to me and go, let's take a selfie. I go, okay. And I thought, what great fellowship. And I smiled. My heart was full of joy. And when I left there yesterday to go home to be with Janine and for us to go through the stuff for our day, boy, just I had so many great thoughts. And that's all wonderful, but it's even greater to come into God's house and have fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ.